ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we continue to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 17. Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Chapter 17, text number... yesterday Mother Rupa Manjari did 20. I don't know exactly what happened there. I think I'll just continue with 12. Abhisandhyaya tufalam dambartum api chaivayat ichyate bharata shrista tam yagyam vidhi rajasam. Translation: but the sacrifice performed for some material benefit or for the sake of pride, O chief of the Bharatas, you should know to be in the mode of passion. Purport: sometimes sacrifices and rituals are performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom or for some material benefits in this world. Such sacrifices or ritualistic performances are considered to be in the mode of passion. Any comments or questions on this? It's clear, right? Okay, text 13. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the direction of scripture, without distributing of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport: faith in the mode of darkness or ignorance is actually faithlessness. Sometimes people worship some demigod just to make money and then spend the money for recreation, ignoring the scriptural injunctions. Such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine. They are all in the mode of darkness. They produce a demoniac mentality and do not benefit human society. Omagyanatimarandasya gananjana salakaya chaksur militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Parakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupang Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vidam Tangsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savarutam Prithina Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Param Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vidamscha. Okay. I'll just repeat it one more time. Any sacrifice performed without regard for the directions of scripture, without distribution of prasadam, spiritual food, without chanting of Vedic hymns and remunerations to the priests, and without faith, is considered to be in the mode of ignorance. Mantra hinam, Krishna says, with no chanting of the Vedic hymns. And he says, it says here, ashrista anam. So ana means food, or, because sometimes what the devotee says prasadam is grains. Generally food means grains. But Anna is here distributed by, translated by Srila Prabhupada as prasadam. Ashrishta anam, without distribution of prasadam. Vidhi hinam, without scriptural direction. A dakshinam, so without dakshin. So the priests, they should always get a dakshin. Prabhupada explains actually that as soon as you give money, even if you buy in a store, then it's purified by the giving of the money, because you worked for the money, and by giving it to the person, you don't get the karma. Like in cultured countries, they understand this, that if you give something to someone, then he owes you. And they also understand, at least in India, that you get their karma. So they get benefit by giving to you. And to refuse, in the Western culture, this is not so much there. because it's a little bit... George Harrison, he wrote a song about it. It's in the Shastra. And I'm sure you know the song. I, me, mine. It's from the Let It Be album. And George said that it was inspired by Srimad Bhagavatam, by what he read from Prabhupada's books. This particular song was inspired by that. So that's a little bit the Western mindset. But in the Vedic culture, that is not so much there. Vedic culture is a giving culture. Like Kuvala Shai, he was talking about that he was in India and that he went to this really remote place where you can only go by foot, half an hour walk. Everything that you have there needs to be brought in by foot. It's like rice fields. You can't even walk with a horse. You just get stuck or breaks leg. So the people were so friendly. Even in Arab countries, I've been in Morocco, and you have a lot of crooks there. I mean, I was in Tangiers. Tangiers is like used to be an old pirate city. There's a lot of crooks there. But I also went to Tetuan, and there the people were very, very friendly and very, you know, opening their house, and they want to give, you know, their so-called prasadam. So, yeah, that is an understanding. I also read this book about Eskimos, and they were very much into giving their wife to you. I'm not sure exactly how that works, probably because maybe there's not so many men, or I don't know, but that is the culture there, that when you come to their house, their igloo, then they say, "You want to sleep with my wife?" And it's a big insult if you say no. Anyway, the point is that if you give, or if you let's put it differently, if you receive, then you get the karma of that person. Like, I know one friend, I will not mention his name. He says that I only accept money from people who chant 16 rounds. And he even went so far that a famous Hollywood person wanted to give him $100 or something like that, that house broke him. I think I can say his name. It was Nick Nolte. Yeah, and he wanted to give him a donation. And he said, no. I said, are you chanting 16 rounds? He said, no. I'm just kind of get into it because my wife, you know, and you know, you're a nice guy, so I want to give you something. So he said that he refused it because he felt that he would be get too much implicated.
Where did he meet Nick?
No, that he had a house problem. It's a well-known fact that that has been in the press that Nick Nolte's girlfriend, she invited Hare Krishnas, and they would chant in his house, and he kind of appreciated it. There's even a story, none of it's true. Actually, I kind of know it's not true. Sorry, Nick. That he got off alcohol because of the chanting. Anyway, maybe it is true. Maybe he went off and on and then off again. Hopefully he went off again, but I know that he also went on. Anyway, my apologies for sharing that. I couldn't resist. But it's... My point is that it's also, it's not another point that it's just a little bit on my mind. It's not so easy to become a devotee. It's a little bit of a, I don't want to say propaganda, but it's kind of a, like a, you have a commercial, chant and be happy. And it works. It is true. But Prabhupada also sometimes used to say, and we cannot even do that. This is the program. Chant, dance, and be happy. Prabhupada says, and we are so unfortunate, not even that, we cannot do it. So, but the fact of the matter is that actually it's not so easy to do it. And it takes a lot of practice. Like, I remember that Prabhupada also said, if you would have been serious, like 10 years, then you would have been a pure devotee. So it's not a 10-month thing in general. You know, it takes a few years. And who can say that they've been serious for 10 years? Like, you know, really, it's difficult. I can say for sure that I have not been able to do it. And I keep trying. I'm convinced that it works. I think it's scientific, you know. If you want to get the result, you have to do the experiment. And like there is one quote from Shruti Kirti. He says, if you go to Mangalarti 14 years without missing once, then everything you will say will be perfect. But sometimes, we discussed it also the other day, sometimes the audience get a little bit into this, you just chant one good round. But it is a little bit of a numbers game. Otherwise, why would Bhaktisiddhanta vow to chant 1 billion rounds or 1 billion names? You know, there. And I looked it up, or a friend of mine looked it up. There are statements in the Shastra, if you chant so many names, then success is guaranteed. And one of the things that he discovered is that basically if you chant 60 rounds for about 40 years, that's it. You're practically there. Of course, there's also 10 offenses, and it's not in that sense not automatic, because the Shastras also say you can chant for millions of lifetimes. But I think it's a little bit overstressed, you know, because it is a bit of a numbers game. If you go to so many Mangalartiks, it will work. If you chant so many rounds, you'll get the result. Of course, you should try and chant without offenses and, you know, all these things, but it works. So it is a little bit of a numbers game, you know. So, now I lost my track. This is the worst thing that can happen, Satchinanda Swami says.
Don't worry about it. The essence of the verse we're discussing is Prabhupada was really laying down what is real in religion.
Yes.
According to this statement of this particular verse, Judeo-Christian enterprises and Judeo-Christian activities, the churches and so on, not giving prasad.
Yes, I'll repeat it. This is very good. Vidihinam, without scriptural direction. Arsta anam, without distribution of prasadam. Mantra hinam, with no chanting of the Vedic hymns. And adakshinam, that's what I referred, with no remunerations to the priests.
He even goes as far as saying that this is demoniac type of. What does he say?
Yeah, in the purport, Lord Krishna calls it tamasam. And Prabhupada, I think to refer to our mind, he says, such ceremonial shows of religiosity are not accepted as genuine. They are all in the mode of darkness. They produce a demoniac mentality.
Demoniac.
Yeah, and do not benefit human society. So they produce a demoniac mentality.
That's very, very heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, and also note that he translated in the mode of darkness. So it's just, he catches the mood of Lord Krishna. And I think it's like with all of his purports, I think it's proper. He always catches the right mood. Also, we know that Prabhupada also sometimes refers back to other acharyas. Still, it's very, very interesting that Prabhupada always catches this mood. Anyway, so yeah, one thing I referred to was the money, and then I went a little bit off track explaining about that. I don't know exactly how I got there, but I was explaining that it's just not so easy to become a devotee, you know.
And however, there's a big excuse by the today's spirit.
Yes. Yeah, they say you need to depend on the mercy. So this is also sometimes said, even in our movement.
Are you not better off with a demon like Kashyapu, because they have a choice of being clergy or not being clergy, for 7 lives with demons for 3 lives?
I'm sorry? Yes, exactly.
So they choose to be demons.
Yeah.
So is that not a better option? Easier path?
Well, in that case, he was, because they had a clear choice. Three lives of a demon. And Prabhupada explains that the devotee, he is willing to become a demon to please Lord Krishna. And one of the most difficult and best examples for that, I think, is Lord Bhishma. He's my great example. He's an acharya. He's not only acharya, he's a mahajan. There's only 12 of them, and he's one of them. And he was fighting on the wrong side, so-called wrong side. So it's very difficult to explain, but I think it was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He explains that the arrows that Lord Bhishma shot at Lord Krishna was like the bites of a lover. Sometimes lovers, they do that, they bite each other. So this was how Krishna experienced the arrows of Lord Bhishma. So, but it's, I think we're, that is kind of my answer to your question, because I think it goes a little bit off track, because he also raised one point, which is, I think, more in the mood of the purport, and it's a difficult point that that people say you just have to depend on the mercy, you know, and it's not a numbers game. I mean, we discussed it also the other day. It's called sadhana bhakti, you know, and you cannot.
Depending on the mercy is a, you can't sentimentally say I'm depending on the mercy. Depending on the mercy is a liberated platform, spontaneous platform.
Yes. Well, I can give you one example, because of course we do need the mercy. There's no doubt about it. But there's also a way to get the mercy.
Yeah, you're not discriminating properly, because we're getting a reflection of the mercy, nama bhas, but we can't chant Sudha Nama permission.
No, but it's possible that if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes here and he looks at you and he touches you, it's possible. Well, that's what we also read, right, in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
It doesn't interfere with the free will of the jiva. The jiva chooses, if he doesn't surrender, nothing, no one can do.
Yeah, that's what we also read, right, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that some people, they meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and some people, they took it, and some people didn't.
It's not a cheap thing.
No.
He's just giving you something. You have to surrender your
own. Yeah. Well, I mean, the point I wanted to make, and I think that this is also a little bit the answer of your question, and I think this is also referring to this example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not 100% sure, but I think this example is also given, that some people were fertile and others were barren. Like, it's like a ground. The mercy, like we have this verse, Sangsara Dhava Nalalita Loka. So the spiritual master, he's like a rain cloud, and he's distributing the mercy. So, but you have to be, this is explained in Bhagavad Gita. I forgot the Sanskrit, but it says that unless you are sinless, you cannot take the Krishna consciousness.
Exactly. So none of us are taken to Krishna consciousness, sudha bhakti, because we're not sinless.
Well, I mean, that is a negative way of understanding it.
It's realistic. It's negative to you because you can't face it.
No, I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with you, but another way of looking at it is that everybody that walks through the door is by definition sinless, because that is also how Prabhupada sometimes referred to that verse, that you're not able to walk through this door unless you have done all these things. So we need to find kind of a balance, and I think also this is my answer to you, and in general, we kind of need to understand it. You can come with.
It means freedom from all secret and self-reliance. So, it's not a cheap thing.
No, I understand. I understand, but what I'm trying to say is that you ultimately have to understand these things.
Yeah,
so there's
the
there's one thing, which is the mercy of the Lord, which is there and which we do need, and the mercy of the spiritual master. And another thing is to be qualified to receive that mercy. So that's what I mean. You have to understand it. Both need to be there. And my lecture here, and that's why I say I tend to agree with you, my lecture here is that my emphasis is on the work. But that doesn't mean that we should not, you know, be eager for the mercy, and that we cannot do anything without the mercy. But I feel, because I'm a preaching now, you see, And a preacher, he has to sometimes preach according to time, place, and circumstances. So I feel we sometimes a little bit too much, and I think you agree with me. Well, I'm trying to explain the philosophy. Anyway, let me just explain that, because I have to finish now, you see, because we got 5 minutes, right, or not? Oh, we got 5 minutes here. So, yeah, like I said, you know, what I'm stressing here in this class is that I'm just explaining that. Maybe I'm not a preacher, like you said, I can agree with that.
Right.
No, I agree with that. But the point is that... we have to understand it, and I'm emphasizing the fact that we do need to practice, and then we get more and more receptive for that mercy. So that was kind of my, and that is also my answer to you. And I think that is also Prabhupada's critique, the critique you yourself mentioned, that the Christians are not really practicing. They're not following Lord Jesus' instructions, don't kill animals, and like you had me recite it again. And I think you kind of made a point very justified that they're kind of not following all of these things that are mentioned here. So, but both need to be there. And again, it needs to be an understanding. And I think we don't have time for it now, but I think the way, like, you raise these points, we need to discuss these points. You know, we need to really think about it. But there's no more time. We'll just chant now, because that is also part of the purification. Sometimes we cannot understand it, so we need to chant a little more, and then maybe tomorrow we'll understand a little bit more. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.